Yes, for the tree lighting.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Some other live music going on today that was not mentioned yet in the set list. Sam and Matthew Miltich are playing at the Rife Center today for a 1 o'clock show. Seth Dowd is at the Turtle River Chop House tonight in Bemidji at 6. And Partner Sandstone is playing at Ben Paddle Brewing in Duluth at 6 o'clock. Also, tomorrow, there's a John Kern's Christmas show at Jack Pine Brewery in Baxter at 6 o'clock. Are you ready for a little Christmas music?
A little.
How are you feeling?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm never quite against it, but I'm not ready for, like, the traditional carols.
No.
Blaring.
No.
You know, kind of in...
We just got our first holiday album in.
Oh.
And it's from Melissa Carper. Maybe we can listen to it this morning.
Yes, I heard you talking about this.
I was going to play it yesterday, and then I was like, is it? Can we? But it's not outright. They're all originals.
Yeah,
and
we're doing it.
Okay, we can do that.
I'm up for it.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Is that okay? I mean,
yeah, no, I'm good with that. I just needed a little prodding, so okay. Thank you for that.
Hey, something going on later this morning before 9 o'clock. We have one of our Bright Spot segments. Smiles for Jake is hosting Snow Mini Smiles at Crosby Memorial Park this Saturday, 3 to 6. It's a free family event. It'll be heated tents, petting zoo, cookie decorating, letters to Santa, and more, ending with fireworks at 6. And we're going to find out more about this suicide prevention organization, Smiles for Jake, that comes from the Brainerd Lakes area.
Also coming up this morning, later on this hour, actually, we're talking with news director Chelsea Perkins, getting our newsroom update this week. And very exciting news from the newsroom that, I mean, there seems to be a lot of exciting news usually from our newsroom mm-hmm. about their work. But one thing to note is that there was just a feature on Morning Edition yesterday. National Public Radio aired one of our stories about Go Marty, Chelsea mm-hmm. Perkins. Put together. So I'm very excited to talk with her about that.
All that's coming up. This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker, People Powered Radio in northern Minnesota. Join us at KAXE.org.
For KAXE News, I'm Megan Buffington with the Up North Report. The recent discovery of bones in a Chisholm basement is reminding the community of a long-standing unsolved missing child case. An initial investigation Tuesday shows the bones are likely not human. Chisholm police called in the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension to assist with the investigation. The bones will be submitted for further analysis to confirm the findings. In a social media update, Chisholm Police Chief James Vukod wrote the department takes every report and potential lead seriously. He pointed to the 2003 disappearance of Leanna Warner. 5-year-old Warner was last seen walking home from a friend's house. Despite a massive search effort, no clear evidence was found. Vukod says the hope is that continued efforts will one day provide answers. Boston city officials are asking the court to step in to force Essentia Health into talks over whether the city has the right to end the healthcare provider's operation of the local hospital. Larissa Donovan has more.
The years-long dispute stems from Essentia Health's decision to end labor and delivery services in Boston and move those services to Detroit Lakes and Fargo. Last year, Boston engaged in a round of arbitration with Essentia Health that hinged on a breach of contract dispute. The city maintained that providing labor and delivery service was an essential part of the agreement. Arbitrators ruled in a split decision that there was no breach of contract, but the decision also stated it, quote, should not be construed as granted Essentia unrestricted freedom to alter core services without consequence in the future. Boston claims that the provider has also cut down on ambulances, removed a longstanding board member, and understaffed facilities. The Boston City Council voted late last year to end its affiliation agreement with Essentia on January 1st. The city further claims Essentia Health is treating the agreement as if it gave Essentia ownership of the nonprofit that owns the hospital, First Care Medical Services. In an emailed statement to KAXE, an Essentia spokesperson disagrees with Boston's assessment and says the provider does own First Care Medical Services and has since the 2009 agreement. Boston has had a vested interest in its hospital for generations and authorized the nonprofit now known as First Care Medical Services as owner of the hospital in 1947.
Obviously, I think it's clear how the vote should go on this property tax increase. At least I hope it's clear.
Zach Van Drunen of Cohasset was one of over 20 people who addressed the Itasca County Board Tuesday night. Counties, cities, and school districts across Minnesota host truth and taxation meetings at the end of each year after proposed property tax statements are sent out. Officials present their proposed budgets, and then community members like Van Drunen can give feedback. Over 100 people attended Itasca County's meeting.
But I want to offer my recommendation. Do it all proper, legal, above board, but let the state know you don't want to play these games anymore. We don't want to do these mandates.
The county board says those mandates are what necessitated its proposed 10% levy increase. After 3 hours of hearing from the public, the board worked the increase down to 7%. They plan to cut more before the levy has to be certified on December 20th. Beltrami County's meeting was also Tuesday. Their commissioners finalized a 9.6% increase, committing to the preliminary budget that cut funding for local libraries by more than 40%. Larissa is back with more.
Beltrami's budget includes a $700,000 contingency account as the county braces for more state and federal cost shifts. The budget also reduces the county's contribution to the Kitchigami Regional Library System, which operates the Bemidji and Black Duck Public Library branches. Bemidji branch manager Sherilyn Warren says hours will be reduced with the library going from being open 6 days a week to four. She says people turn more to libraries when times are tough economically and are reducing their own budgets.
Cutting libraries during budgetary crisis is like cutting hospitals during a plague, because that's basically what you're doing, is you're cutting the library at a time when people need it the most.
Around a dozen Beltrami County residents spoke to preserving library funding. According to County Administrator Tom Berry, the county has paid $1.5 million more than it's legally required to over the last 10 years. Larissa Donovan, KAXE News.
That's it for the Up North Report. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Megan Buffington, telling the stories of northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report on KAXE is sponsored by Woodland Bank, dedicated to serving local businesses, families, and nonprofits in our area since 1920. You can find more information online at woodland.bank.
Up North Report, it is a podcast available. You can sign up for it or listen to it at kexe.org or your podcast platforms. That's along with the new Season Watch podcast this week. Andrew DeZingle sitting in for Charlie Mitchell.
Can't wait to hear this one.
Did you know that Andrew has a love of Blue Jays? Like so much, he did some research.
No, they're kind of mean birds.
Tune in. No, yeah. That's his favorite.
I mean, I do love looking at them.
Yeah.
And maybe this was what you guys talked about, the feathers, the color?
No, Oh, yeah, we did.
Okay. Right. All right. Because they're brown. It's a trick of the light.
That gray.
Or, well.
Maybe brown. Okay. Anyway.
Brown gray.
Season Watch, this is what we're finding over time. So this has been going on. This is the seventh.
Jeez, it's already been 7 weeks. Podcast. That's wild. Yep.
And each time you learn something new, more questions arise. So this podcast is all about curiosity. We've loved hearing from people who are wanting to know what's going on. You know, this week we're really honing in on being a detective because we've got snow.
And oh yeah.
So you follow the tracks.
Mm-hmm.
You try to figure out who did that. What did that? You know? So I think it's a really, really good reminder. I'm using this myself to get outside and explore. There are still things going on. Even in the cold.
The tracks are the best, like when you see the tracks from, and this is thanks to Phenology that has like alerted me to even look for this, but when where you can see like when a bird of prey mm-hmm. has picked something up from the snow and you see, mm-hmm. you can almost see the imprint of the wings. That is unbelievable.
And the little trails of the voles. And
what are they called again? The animals that, there's a word that John and Charlie use for those animals that burrow under the.
Oh, subnivian.
Subnivian, yes. Also a word I'd never heard before.
I believe I remember.
I know,
that.
Nice work.
Yeah. Well, so Season Watch is coming up, and we want you to send us your questions as well. You'll hear it this weekend. You'll also be getting it on your podcast platform later today.
And also going on today at noon, Itasca Waters continues their Practical Water Wisdom series this month, Water Wishes for the Holidays, where presenters will share a joyful hour of water-themed children's books that spark curiosity. Register at itascawaters.org.
We talked with the folks on Tuesday who are doing this, and they're so excited to talk about these water books and all
these It's a fun theme this month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did hear from John in Chicago, speaking of handmade gifts and everything. He said a homemade gift he likes to give is a beef suet birdseed wreath to hang in the yard or on a tree. He uses a bundt cake pan to form a circle shape.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. There's some available right now on a online auction that's going on, made by someone we know.
Okay. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. It's something Sarah Bignell does.
Makes the suet?
Mm-hmm.
Makes these. I did not know that.
Bird wreaths. Yeah. Cool stuff going on in our region. Coming up, we're getting the latest news, this time about the CDC and the Vaccine Advisory Committee, and this has to do with the hepatitis B vaccine, so make sure you stay tuned for that.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. Vaccine advisors for the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention meet today and tomorrow, and they're expected to question how pediatricians vaccinate children for more than a dozen diseases.
NPR Health correspondent Ping Huan is with us now to tell us more about it. Good morning.
Good morning, Michelle.
What's this meeting about?
So this is the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices. This is a panel that's been making recommendations on how vaccines should be used since 1964. And back in June, Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. dismissed all the previous members, and he replaced them with members who have shown that they are not, generally speaking, all that familiar with the details of vaccine policy or how this group shapes it. At their last meeting in October, the committee's chairman said that they were rookies when they had to redo a vote. That chairman was replaced just this week, and the new chair is Dr. Kirk Milhone. He's a pediatric cardiologist and a fellow with the Independent Medical Alliance, which is a group that still recommends people use drugs like ivermectin to treat COVID, even though studies have shown it does not work.
So what will be covered in this meeting?
So a few things. First of all, the group is going to be voting on whether to drop the recommendation that hepatitis B vaccines be given to babies at birth. This is a policy that's been in effect for more than 30 years. And it's something that came up at the last meeting, where some members wanted to push the vaccine back to when kids are older, and others said it would be a mistake. Now, since that meeting, independent researchers have found that delaying the Hep B vaccine by even a couple of months could lead to hundreds of preventable deaths each year. That's from liver cancers and health problems that are prevented by getting this $15 vaccine. Also, they're going to be discussing the overall vaccine schedule, which is who gets which vaccines and when, and also what goes into vaccines.
What are their concerns about the vaccine schedule?
So Milhone, the new committee chair, told the Washington Post that they're going to be looking into whether vaccines are causing asthma, eczema, and other autoimmune diseases in children. This is even though large, long-term studies have found no evidence for this. Dr. Sean O'Leary with the American Academy of Pediatrics says that every vaccine on the schedule is vetted.
And it's based on the age at which a child's immune system can provide optimal protection after vaccination, balanced with the age the child is at highest risk for a disease.
Now, Kennedy has also enraged the public health community recently by ordering changes to the CDC's website, suggesting that vaccines, and specifically an ingredient containing aluminum, might cause autism. This is also not supported by scientific consensus, but it's also a topic for this meeting.
And just for folks who might be interested, why is aluminum in vaccines?
Yeah, so it's not the aluminum metal by itself. These are chemicals that contain aluminum, and they're used to boost the immune system to make the vaccine more effective. Now, they've been used in vaccines since the 1930s, and they're currently used in more than a dozen of them in very small amounts. But if these ingredients get banned, as some advocates have pushed for, there are no substitute vaccines without them that are ready to go. It could take years for replacements to be developed and to be made.
So there is a lot at stake in this meeting.
There is, yeah, and a lot of people in medicine, public health are going to be watching very closely. And while doctors' groups and some state health departments are making their own independent vaccine recommendations now, this panel still influences what insurance covers, and with these public meetings, they have a big megaphone to shape what people hear and think about vaccines.
That's NPR health correspondent Ping Huang. Ping, thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next guest is an epidemiologist. Micah Osterholm directs the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the University of Minnesota. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
How important is this vote on delaying hepatitis B vaccines?
Well, Steve, I can tell you without any doubt in my 50 years in the business that this is probably the most defining moment for our country in public health. If they, in fact, vote down the hepatitis B recommendation today, where the science is clear and compelling and children's lives are at risk, this will mean we can no longer trust federal health authorities when it comes to vaccines, which has, as you know, been the actual standard bearer of vaccine science for all of these years. So this is a huge issue today.
Wow, a lot to follow up on there. First, why would delaying the hepatitis B vaccine by just a couple of months, but still giving the vaccine, make such a difference in its effectiveness? It doesn't sound like that big a deal.
Well, actually, it's a very big deal because the number one way in which the kids are infected with hepatitis B virus is actually exposure to blood during the birthing process to an infected mom. Hmm. And so the virus transmits at that point. If you can vaccinate literally at the time of delivery or shortly thereafter, as well as give a type of immune globulin we call HBIG, it's an antibody that will help also tie up the virus, you can actually prevent that transmission from occurring. So it's too late to wait months later to vaccinate the child. This is not about them getting exposed, you know, through sex and drugs, as has often been referred to as the reason why you don't need to vaccinate young kids. It's that transmission from an infected mom.
Hmm. You also said that if they take this vote, if they make this move in defiance of the science, that we can no longer trust HHS. We can no longer trust this committee. I had an opportunity to hear Robert F. Kennedy Jr. in a speech last month in Arizona. And in this speech, he accused people at his own agency of malpractice. He said, quote, they haven't been doing their job. He claims to represent people who don't trust the health agencies, and they're doing something about it. It seems to me that you are now flipping that around, and you're saying actually what the agency is doing now is what is endangering trust. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely, and it's uniform across the world in terms of their response to what's happening. In fact, just yesterday in the New England Journal of Medicine, 12 former FDA commissioners from both Republican and Democratic administrations wrote a scathing article about what's happening right now at HHS and the whole challenge that has come to the advisory committee immunization practices. Countries across the world are also in the same position. And finally, let me just say, all of the various medical societies, whether it's the American Academy of Pediatrics, American College of Obstetricians, Gynecologists, Infectious Disease Society of America, all are on the same side here. I've never seen a more unified public health situation than I do now. The one challenge, of course, is our own federal government is spreading mis- and disinformation that is causing parents not to vaccinate their children.
And we should note the government has already taken a large number of actions. We don't know how this committee is going to vote today, but suppose they take this vote, which for you is momentous and a Rubicon, and it means we can no longer trust the agency at all. If that happens, where would you have me turn for reliable information on vaccines for myself or my family?
I think at this point it's going to be the medical societies. And we did accomplish that very issue last fall when our group at the Vaccine Integrity Project at the University of Minnesota actually put together a body of detailed information on updating the COVID vaccines, the flu vaccines, and the RSV vaccines. And at that point, this medical society signed on, and we did come up with different recommendations that have been used.
Can go to those recommendations or go to our individual doctors, I suppose.
Exactly. That's where the most important information needs to be, is with the doctors to be able to share with their patients.
Dr. Michael Osterholm is director of the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the University of Minnesota. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Steve.
This is NPR News.
National Public Radio's Morning Edition. It's here on People Powered KEXE. I'm Heidi Holton with Kari Hedlund. Thanks for being with us today. We've got a mix of news we need to know as well as conversations about the local community. And you are invited to always join the conversation by texting 218-326-1234.
We receive support from Harmony Food Co-op, Bemidji's full-service downtown grocery store, offering people a variety of local, organic, fair trade, and conventional items. Open daily from 8 to 8. More at harmonyfoods.coop, also on Facebook.
Are we still, you heard the controversy about how we talk about temperatures?
Oh, the negative?
Yeah.
Yes.
So we are still in the below zero range here.
Tupelo. It was supposed to get to Tupelo, wasn't it, today? I feel like this is always a...
Oh, Tupelo.
Tupelo.
Seven below right now in Grand Rapids. 12 below in Hibbing, 4 below in Bemidji, 7 below in Park Rapids. Grand Rapids at 9 below, if I said that. Monoman, 1 below, and looking like Floodwood, 15 below with skies right now. Ooh,
that's funny
Floodwood,
because
chilly con coldy.
I thought yesterday felt colder than today.
Yeah.
But no.
It's going to warm up a little bit. 13 to 18 above for our temperatures today. We'll see some sun. Gusting winds, though, out of the south. It's going to feel colder, up to 25 miles an hour. Chance of snow continuing today just into the early evening. Cloudy skies, 7 to 17 above. And by tomorrow, mostly cloudy. Highs in the low to mid-20s. We'll get cold again tomorrow night with 6 below to 3 above for our lows.
We receive support from the Bonner Eye Clinic with locations in Grand Rapids and Hibbing, offering cataract surgery, LASIK, and general eye exams. BonnerEyeClinic.com. Let us help you see clearly. We've been talking about our KAXE question of the week, which is tell us about handmade gifts. Mm-hmm. What have you made either in the past or this year? What have you been given? What stands out? Give us gift ideas and text us 218-326-1234. Something that I am currently working on right now is a garland. Mm-hmm. So I got a couple plaid shirts at a thrift shop that I ripped up, and I'm going to make... I've made little bows out of them, and I've been dehydrating oranges for the slices. But I just, as we were talking about this earlier, I just had a vision of making an orange with those cloves.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that as a kid? What did we use that?
I didn't make it, but I know what you're talking
about. You didn't? Okay. Yeah. I just can't remember because I was like, I should have Cigna make one of these.
I bet cider.
Maybe. I feel like my mom just hung it. Would that be a thing?
Yeah. Sure.
Because it smells? Mm-hmm. Is that the reason for it? I was like, did we put it outside?
Or some people will make those packs that like you can put in water and warm up on your stove and just get that smell in your house.
Oh, yeah.
That's a nice sort of thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting some reports here on, we'll get back to handmade, on temperatures. 15 below zero on the East Shore Blue Water Lake. Thank you, Bill. And Lisa says 7 below down south in Centerville.
Down south is in quotes.
Yes.
It is winter, that is for sure.
Hey, so you're doing garlands.
Yep, so I'm going to do garlands. I'm feeling the internet is telling me it's a very Ralph Lauren Christmas, which is like kind of a country Christmas, kind of a little...
That's what everybody's looking for at the thrift stores.
Yep, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're on the same algorithm there. But just like cozy and homey, that's what I'm looking for this year.
Yeah.
And like a little... simple, like stripped down.
Me too. I'm kind of, I do this every year, but I wasn't as intentional. I like to reuse a lot of stuff. So I never buy Christmas stuff new.
Me neither.
And then, I realize every year I kind of donate back some stuff that I'm not using, like maybe from 5-6 years ago. And then that means I can buy a few new things this year. I just never realized that's what I do every year. Now I'm like, oh, yeah, now I'm intentionally...
You've just like called... Yeah, you've named it now.
Yeah, and so I'm looking for... It's that fun thing if you're looking for something. You're not going to a store just like, I don't know what I'm going to get.
Whatever pops out at you.
I have like two or three things I'm getting, so I'm stopping into places and finding them. And super fun, but yeah, I'm making stuff. I'm doing the tree a totally different... Not using all the... I'm going to give a little hiatus to the normal ornaments I use.
Oh.
And it's all book-related things I've made for the tree this year. So, and all kinds of little trees lit up and little houses. Oh,
that's
and
so cozy,
stuff.
Heidi.
I know. It's feeling good. Oh, Susan from Cotton, 22.3 below.
Oh, you win, Susan. You win. Oh,
even Big Dog isn't up for second walks yet.
What are second walks?
Well, she's already been out.
Oh, geez.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of decor and swapping, the Bemidji Senior Center has their annual holiday decor sale tomorrow from 9 to 3. You can shop gently used items like garland, lights, and other decorations. That would be a fun one to check out.
That's right. And we are certainly, we talked with some of the driving forces of downtown Bemidji yesterday.
That was a fun conversation.
On the Wednesday morning show. And, you know, it was just a good reminder of wherever you live in northern Minnesota about supporting small and, you know, whether that's reusing things or if you're buying new stuff for Christmas, you know, just think about where you're getting it from and where that money is going.
I saw some you know, something that shared about how if you switch one gift, like if you spend $40 and you take it from Amazon and put it into a local business, like the impact that can have is just so great. Mm-hmm. And we always hear these, you know, these numbers about how your local dollars spent infuse so much more into your local economy. And I think that's really something to keep in mind in this holiday season, as much as you can anyway.
Yeah, I like to give things that have a story rather than just like, oh, I got it this place. I thought it was cute.
Can I tell? Oh, no, I can't tell you a story.
Why? Because
my sister might be listening.
Oh.
Let's wait until after 8 o'clock. Because I got a good one about something I found that was really exciting.
Okay, good.
We've got a great show ahead. We're going to be talking, checking in with our news team. We've got best wishes coming up. If you have a birthday greeting to share, anniversary greeting, you can text us 218-326-1234. We receive support from Minnesota Power, an elite company, envisioning a carbon-free future through their energy forward strategy. More at mnpower.com/energyforward.
There are so many opportunities to support your local community right now. Central Lakes College Jingle and Mingle event is Friday. It starts at 5:30 at Roundhouse Brewery in Nisswa. You're supposed to wear your favorite ugly sweater and listen to music from the Central Lakes Jazz Orchestra. And the donations support CLC Music Student Scholarships.
And in Crosby, there's a community tree lighting tomorrow at 5 o'clock at Marketplace Plaza. You can enjoy hot chocolate and other goodies. And in Grand Rapids for the First Friday Art Walk, there's also a tree lighting right by Old Central School at 6:45 with Santa. Santa will be there at 5 o'clock. There's a whole slew of activities going on. You can check out grandrapidsarts.org. And I imagine Katie Marshall will be in tomorrow.
She will.
To talk about what's going on.
A couple theater performances starting today as well. Brainerd Community Theater has Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. That's through the 7th at Chalberg Theater. And Bagley Community Theater has A Christmas Carol now through the 7th of December. And that's at the Bagley High School Auditorium.
If you haven't gotten a Christmas tree yet, you can now cut your own in the Superior or Chippewa National Forest. Permits are available at recreation.gov. You can also stop by a district office to get a permit. Let's take a listen to our album of the week this week. Which one did you say? How about let's do
okay.
Number 4, Cowboying. The album is What of Our Nature by Haley Hendricks and Max Garcia Conover. They are both individual artists who have, this is their second collaboration, and they decided to do a deep dive into the songs, the words, the style of Woody Guthrie. So they spent a year reading biographies, digging into all the words and everything, and wrote this album in the spirit of Woody. So it is, you know, as in that spirit, a protest folk album. And we're going to take a listen to Cowboying from our album of the week, What of Our Nature.
Cop killing, coal mining, starvation wages, the end times, the headlines, the hate was contagious. And when I get too high, I'm dead-eye complacent. And when I need money, I take it. Think peace, you know me, my hat is capacious. I swore she was flirting, she's just a good waitress. I doubled the dosage, still I feel anxious. So when I need something, I take it. I don't know these horses, I don't know what they want to be fed. I don't know these horses. I've been cowboy in Illinois and fried me up bacon. Been drunk and obnoxious and passively racist. They lied to us, Captain. They're back to, let's face it, they don't work for their money, they take it. Yeah, there's a beat down in this town, so I'm out here scrapping my chicken feed frenzy. My working man's fashion, my underdog story is at best dishonest. Cause when I need something, I got it. I don't know these horses, I don't know what they want to be called. I don't know these horses at all. So when's my redemption, and who's gonna save me, and how do I start to believe something made me? That life isn't pain, and love isn't greed, and the land will provide, and those sorts of things. Here's what I'll say. If the sun now is setting, if the home of the brave is a joke I'm just getting, I may have been ugly, I may have been mean, but I had somebody I tried to get free. I rode every day from dawn until dusk to help make her way a little less rough. Sure, I murdered and I stole, but don't call me evil. It was mostly just money and people. I don't know these horses, and I can't get them out of my head. I don't know these goddamn horses, and I'm not sure if I want to, or if maybe I like it this way. I don't know these horses.
It's our album of the week. Was that me? That sound? That was part of the song, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. So that is Cowboying by What of Our Nature from Haley Hendricks and Max Garcia Conover. And that album, it is recorded in that way. It was like in a studio in a super intimate style. So you can hear all the things. And I always enjoy that kind of recording. Let us know what you think, or let us know what you think of anything you're listening to on KAXC. Text us 218-326-1234. Got a couple weather reports. Betty from Nevis said it's 7 below in Nevis. And Rick from Big Lake said, I like to give food items that I have put up. Beef jerky, smoked salmon, maple syrup, dill pickles, and spaghetti sauce. Seems to go over pretty well as a gift. I agree, Rick. I love that too. I make breadcrumbs, like Italian seasoned breadcrumbs that I have usually gifted each year in various forms, and it's always a fun thing to be able to give that.
Yeah, one year I was into making granola, so I gave everybody jars of granola, and you know, it's kind of fun to do that. So
we done any cookies?
No, I'm thinking I might this weekend.
Yeah, I haven't either, but I think it's about time.
Yeah,
getting there.
Yeah, coming up we'll have best wishes. Let's see what that weather forecast for the rest of the day. It's looking like 13 to 18 degrees above zero. Could see some snow, just a slight chance today and into the early evening, with breezy south winds 5 to 15, gusting up to 25 today.
We receive support from Bemidji Brewing, offering opportunities in the tap room all season long for holiday shopping and gathering. More about events, pop-up shops, beer releases, and more on Facebook. Bemidji Beer, nice catch.
And thanks goes out to Coldwell Banker Northwoods Realty. They help guide your real estate journey in northern Minnesota since 1947. Buying or selling land or lakeshore. More at coldwellbankernorthwoods.com.
All right, it's time for Best Wishes, where we wish our friends and neighbors happy birthday and happy anniversary for today, December 4th.
Longtime member from Fort Ripley. Happy 76th to you.
And Kim Isaacson from Reamer. He's turning 72 today.
Harrison Bear, happy birthday to you.
If you have a birthday or anniversary to share, text us 218-326-1234.
Now's where you are wanting to hear a Christmas song, right?
I'm pushing, pushing for this. Melissa Carper, you know, she's a familiar, you definitely will recognize the voice. She's been played a lot on KAXE over the last 10 years, and she has a new album out of originals. And I wrote this in the Fresh Picks this week, but I'm a sucker for an album of original holiday songs. The redone classics, that's fine. But originals like Sharon Jones, their great holiday album, JD McPherson's great album, Amanda Shires had one a couple years ago that I loved so much. And now this one from Melissa Carper. I think we've got Plug in the Tree.
Oh, hurry up and plug in the tree. It's November 23, and I can't wait to plug in the tree. Let's get this tree a-going, 'cause it's tree. Reflecting a string of lights, the big bright star that sits atop, the tinsel hanging down, the presents wrapped in red and green, we're all here gathered round. Ho, 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 hurry up and plug in the tree. Oh, hurry up and plug in the tree to the electricity. I can't wait to plug in the tree.
Was that just our kickoff to the holiday season there?
I think you did it. That was a kick, too, on the drum there. Yeah, we got
this. That is Plug in the Tree from Melissa Carper here on the Thursday morning show. Tune in at 9 o'clock this morning. Got Headwaters with DJ Dang. He's going to be airing the latest Spin That-ish episode that covers all the releases. Not all the releases. Some releases from November. Mm-hmm. And we might get a little woo-woo on this month's edition. So
you're waxing poetic?
No, like, okay, Kari, you might be crazy. People might think I'm a little weird after this one.
All right. Well, you can handle it, can't you?
Yeah. I've always owned my weird, and that's okay. Totally fine with that. Support on KAXE comes from Grand Itasca Clinic and Hospital, home to an experienced OBGYN team that provides comprehensive women's health services, including maternity and advanced gynecology care, all in Grand Rapids. Learn more at granditasca.org.
Betty sent us another note from Nevis. She said, I bake Scottish shortbread every year.
What's that? Oh.
It's a tradition for me, enough for family, friends, and coworkers. I sent some to KAXE a few years ago as a thank you for promoting the farmer's market in Park Rapids.
I'm sure I ate it when you sent that, Betty,
but I don't remember
what Scottish shortbread is or how it's different from regular shortbread.
I'm thinking of the packaging one that has it's almost like little indentations on it.
Yeah,
but
yes.
I don't know that that's what Betty's talking about. We'll have to see if she gives us a little more explanation or recipe, for instance.
Oh, okay. I think that was just a call out there.
Betty, come on, don't steer us wrong. You can't just flaunt your Scottish shortbread and not expect someone to want the recipe.
This weekend, Concordia Language Villages, I mean, maybe there's Scottish shortbread here. Near mm-hmm. Bemidji, they're having their international holiday market this weekend, today through the 7th and December 11th through the 14th. That's from 10 to 6 each day. You can shop ornaments, apparel, food, and more from 14 different cultures.
If you are in the mood for sing-alongs already, Grand Rapids Area Male Chorus has their Christmas concert this Sunday, 2:30, St. Andrew's Lutheran Church, and there's a carol sing-along, and refreshments will be served afterwards.
Have you ever done a sing-along?
Mm-hmm.
Are they fun?
Yeah, very fun.
I don't think I've ever done one.
Well, it's like being in church and you sing
sure.
with them together, you know, but it's jollier, and I did a number of years ago with a when Bemidji Symphony Orchestra does that every year. So I did that at their sing-along.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in college, I did the big Handel's Messiah. It was part of the big, huge choir.
Fun.
At Luther College. And that was really fun. Just like it didn't, because I'm not the best singer, but it kind of didn't matter.
Yeah, because you're surrounded by, right.
Yeah, it was just really, really fun.
Cool. Coming up on the morning show in just a few minutes, we're checking in with our news team. Then we're going to be hearing about AMPERS, the network of independent radio stations across Minnesota. We'll be talking with Joel Glazer during the 8 o'clock hour.
Right now, it's time for our little dose of nature with John Latimer.
On today's date, December 4th, 2011, my wife Denise and I are out for a hike, and our eyes are captured by the bright red of the British soldiers' lichens. And these common and frequently overlooked lichens are quite gorgeous against the snow background. That little cap of red, which is absolutely scarlet, is really quite fantastical when you get a chance to see it against a background of all white snow. We enjoyed looking at the British soldier, the pale sage green structure that supports that bright red spore-producing body on the top of the lichen. It is very, very interesting to look at.
Facing the great unknown, I was born in human condition. I am facing the great unknown. Have to wonder what we're doing here together, even though I know I'm leaving here alone. So I found myself in a circle of some people where wound up wishing I'd known. Found myself in a circle of some people where I wound up wishing I had known. Nobody ever knows anybody well enough to compare another life to their own. I can't please anybody that loves me any more than anyone I know. I couldn't please anybody that loved me any more than anyone I know. I had to kick my addiction to approval so I could stick with the ones I enjoy.
Like I don't know how.
Like I don't know why. Expecting to be here now, without planning or reflecting or even expecting to be here now. I was born in human condition, dancing like I don't know how.
Was that Todd Snyder?
It was. That's off his album High Lonesome and Then Some, which was released just weeks before he died at an untimely age. And
just a sad story at the end of his life. And so many people, he's one of those, you know, you hear about those kind of musicians.
100%.
You know, so many people I was watching.
Maybe not a household name, but
yeah,
everybody in music.
Like Amanda Shire said, such a tie.
Margot, too. Yeah. They were just about to write a song together, apparently, after he got back from this tour. And just really, really a sad, sad deal. Plus, just the story in general was just a really, really sad and confusing story. So that's an artist, though, you've heard a lot on KAXE over the years. In fact, in the library, artists that we have a lot of albums from go horizontal versus vertical. Yeah. And Todd's a horizontal artist.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds bad.
Yeah, no. It does. Okay. You can drop that.
Yeah, we'll be done with that one. Okay, Betty got back to us on the Scottish shortbread.
Yeah.
And she said, it's a secret recipe. My daughter will get it when I'm gone. Betty, you are really holding this close to the chest. We're planning a lesson session. That's kind of a hard, Those are hard words to say back
Lesson
to back.
Lesson sesh.
Lesson sesh. And mine is much better than the Walkers. Really? What are the, what do you?
That's the brand that I was thinking of in the red box.
Yes.
It's Scottish.
Okay. I bet they are, Betty. I mean, come on.
Sesh shows up a lot lately in crossword puzzles. Like it's
S-E-S-H?
Yeah, like the cool slang
that's
of
the
a
new,
meeting. Yes.
That's the new ale or ode.
Eel. Emo. Good Lord. I get sick of those. And I love them at the very same time.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, we are a crossword puzzle every day house before.
Every day.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
I know, I'm impressed with you.
Well, no, you don't. That's not why I said it, because we do it in an easily way. I'll tell you that later. But I'm thinking it's time to check in with the newsroom and Chelsea Perkins, our news director. And Chelsea's good at asking questions. And I wonder if she has any advice for us on how we get that recipe from Betty.
Oh, my goodness.
Investigative reporting.
I don't want to end up on Betty's bad list. I'll tell you, I'm not going to try to get anyone to reveal secrets that could compromise themselves. That's where we allow anonymity, Heidi. Don't you know?
All right. All right. We'll just let that go, I guess, right? So, as always, lots to talk about. Things going on in our region, stuff coming out of the newsroom, but one of the things we talked about briefly yesterday, as we were hearing our very own Chelsea Perkins on Morning Edition from National Public Radio talking about the Go Marty Project, Andrew and I were talking about the importance of, you know, kind of why the newsroom began, right? So that we believe rural people deserve news from where they live, but also a national level should have news about rural places. And I wonder if you could, let's just talk about that sort of issue, why that matters in the bigger scope of things.
Well, it matters because I think that there are many people who live in urban and suburban environments that don't really have a conception of the variety and diversity of life in rural places. You know, people may think that it's all farmland, for instance, or in our state, there is, even in our northern Minnesota region, there's an immense variety of economies and people and origin stories. And I think that gets lost in the sauce sometimes when it comes to the national level. You know, you and I, Heidi, have both experienced what it's like to witness other people sort of parachute in to report on your communities when there's a big news story. And it's always a quick hit, and then they're on to the next thing. But we are able to always delve a little bit deeper and tell the story for our own audience. That was an interesting part of this experience, was retelling this story for a national audience and thinking about it through that lens. Like, how can I represent this program and what we're doing here to folks in a way that it'll click with them at the national level. So that was definitely a unique part of the experience.
Well, and I think, you know, we all heard about those autonomous vehicles in California that, you know, when it was first sort of launched a couple years ago. But I, you know, hearing about an autonomous vehicle project in rural America, I would think would be relevant. I mean, we all know most of America is rural.
And winter.
Right.
You
like,
know.
The challenges that they've experienced. I think it was just a really interesting story. But how did that process go? How did they find out about this story?
Well, I meet every week with the Midwest Bureau Chief from National Public Radio. As a member station, we are part of that bureau. And so I am able to kind of just talk about different things that we're covering in our newsroom and see if there's any interest in national covering it or we've been included in some newscasts in the past. And Megan did a feature length piece about the Ruby Slippers at one point as well. So we're just kind of in this constant dialogue every week of like, hey, this is the things we're covering, or they're interested in getting in. They have a story that they're working on and they're like, is anyone working on that? So I was able to tell them about this expansion, the party that they had for Go Marty, late October,
And it caught their attention, and they thought it was an interesting story. And in fact, I don't know if you guys saw this, but Aaron Brown, our friend Aaron Brown, also wrote about Go Marty in the Star Tribune this week, as Minneapolis looks to unroll some autonomous vehicles there. So he's like, hey, it was a rural Minnesota community that did it first. Yeah. So it's kind of fun to have both Aaron and I having headlines on the same topic in the same week.
Mm-hmm. So, Chelsea, I know, you know, sometimes people don't, especially before the newsroom was up and going, I get this feedback a lot from people of like, I didn't understand why KXC wanted to build a newsroom because I felt like you guys were doing everything already. And then they said, as soon as it started, like, oh my God, I had no idea that there was.
Don't know what you're missing until you have it.
There's also been, I've heard critiques of like, is KEXC like, is this the main focus that you want to get on National Public Radio?
Oh my gosh, not even close.
Okay. It's,
you know, I mean, we are, our main focus is always our local audience and how best we can serve them. What stories do they feel need to be told? Do we feel haven't come to the surface or that are going to make life for our neighbors, you know, more interesting, or they're able to find ways to become civically engaged? It's always that first. But that being said, we are part of this network, this opportunity to tell our story. And who better than those of us who live here and work here to tell that story than to have it be told from an outside perspective? So I feel as though when we have the opportunity to bring stories like Go Marty and the Ruby Slippers escapade to the national level, and we're the ones telling it, that we should take that opportunity.
It's almost more important than ever for us to be able to share some of this stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, relatedly, we also recently joined the Rural News Network, which is something that I can talk about a little bit here. It's part of the Institute for Nonprofit News, which we've been a member of for a little while now. It's a subsect of that organization of rural news organizations, and they're all covering rural issues in one way or another. And so it's another opportunity for us to get our stories out there into the world. Those partners can republish our stories if we're covering rural issues. Like, for instance, some of the stories we already have up on their website, our recent coverage on the Red Lake charter school that Larissa went up and did, you know, they recently acquired a pontoon and are using that for environmental education for their students. So we're really trying as many ways as we possibly can muster to get our information out into the world in a meaningful way and for it to find audiences, because that's really what this is all about. If we write news and no one reads or listens to it, then it's not, you know, very helpful.
And people can be very helpful to us in that same respect of sharing what they're hearing. And KXE has long been, the world of public media is a sharing sort of world. And we've all gotten used to now the Up North Report, but it's also on some other stations, isn't it?
It is, yes. We have a couple partners that are running the Up North Report, and we are sort of in the process of maybe adding a couple more to the fold. It's exciting time for us. You know, we're about, gosh, I'm coming up on my 3-year work anniversary with KAXE, and we've really hit our stride, I feel, and we're looking forward to the opportunities ahead and to see where we can take things.
What else? What's happening this week in the newsroom?
Well, you would have heard this morning, if you heard the Up North Report, that we have another chapter in the Faustin and Essentia Health matter that has been ongoing for a few years now. Larissa has a story on that. If you remember, Essentia stopped its labor and delivery services in Faustin a few years ago, and the city of Faustin officials have really been fighting back on that front and are not happy with that change in their community. And Essentia Health, you know, is saying that, hey, we're doing the best we can. We're making good, trying to make good business decisions. So that's always an interesting story to watch as that unfolds. It's now in the courts, so we'll see what happens there. We also had some updates on the Justin Eichhorn case that you heard this morning. We had a update as well on this apparent, there was bones discovered and they thought they were human bones. And so they brought in the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, but it turns out they don't think they're human bones. However, it gave the Chisholm police an opportunity to highlight a missing child case that I personally don't recall this case having happened in 2003. I guess I was in high school, and so maybe it just didn't click for me, but this five-year-old that went missing in the city of Chisholm, and there's never been anything found for that. So it was an opportunity for them to reiterate that and say, you know, if you know any information, they had a picture of her, they did an age progress photo of what she might look like now. And so, yeah, we've been busy prepping for holiday stuff and coming up. If you have any Christmas related story ideas, we'd love to hear them at news@kaxe.org. Can't believe I'm saying that already.
I know.
Fourth.
And you guys are also going to be, you know, looking back over the year and some pretty major stories that you have covered. So be sure to just stay tuned to our website and to the airwaves over this month as we kind of dig into some of our top stories in the news world.
Yeah, it's always kind of fun to look back on the year and see what you've accomplished, you know, as a team. But also there's like, oh my gosh, I forgot about that story. It wasn't even that long ago. And you just get into the thick of it every day and kind of nice to sit back and just reflect for a while.
There is an update coming in from Betty on the shortbread recipe story. Betty says, well, I could have my kid send it to you when I'm baking on the other side. Betty.
All right. Write that down. Betty, put it on the calendar. We'll get back in touch with Betty's child. Now I just need to do some detective work and find out Betty's child's contact info so we can have that on hand.
Right. Exactly. Chelsea Perkins is our news director. We'll have the Up North report coming up in a half hour. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Chelsea.
Thank you.
Coming up, we've got more local stories. We'll be talking statewide, actually, about other stations like KEXE, the Ampers Network, and kind of what's happening in the world of we've been focusing in on funding loss for KEXE and raising money. It's a bigger issue, you know, of course, in the United States, but in the state of Minnesota, especially when it comes to independent media.
We are a state with a really strong, traditionally has been a very strong independent radio state, recognized kind of across the nation as being a stronghold for radio. And be interesting to talk with Joel more about that. We received support from Dragonfly Coffee, located in Central Square Mall in Grand Rapids, featuring a scratch bakery, offering espresso, bubble tea, and more, empowering inclusion and community through employment. Special orders available and more at drinkdragonfly.com. Also want to thank North Homes Children and Family Services, providing compassionate mental health services to children and families at homeschool and in the community. More information at northhomes.org.
Checking the temperatures right now, it's looking like 8 below in Grand Rapids, 6 below in Brainerd, 3 below in Bemidji. I kind of hate that you have to say the word below over and over again, but you
all
do.
Of these are below.
9 in Aiken, Park Rapids, but see, someone might
I know,
that.
Just
7
I know.
Below in Park Rapids. But it's going to warm up a bit today. Highs 13 to 18, breezy south winds 5 to 15, gusting up to 25. Overnight lows, cloudy skies, lows 7 to 17 above zero.
It does look very beautiful at the window this morning. It's very white outside along the riverbanks in Grand Rapids. The trees have some frost on them. Would this qualify as hoar frost? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
No, but it is. It's a lovely scene outside. It is going to be a full moon tonight, so be sure to take a look outside if you get a chance. The Brainerd Noon Sertoma Club is presenting Winter Wonderland. It's a drive-through light display.